The Ticket.
Michigan Insider Podcast is brought to you in part by defense attorney and WTKA legal insider Joe Simon. Find Joe at themichigandefenders.com.
Welcome back to the Michigan Insider, Sports Talk 1050, WTK The Ticket, online at WTK.com. It's time for more of the Midweek Peak with Steve Clark. The Midweek Peak and the winning game plan, which you hear during the Key Bank Countdown and Kickoff, both are brought to you by the Ann Arbor Distilling Company Fox River Michigan Whiskey. If you're tailgating for U of M football and you're drinking Kentucky or Tennessee whiskeys, that's like subsidizing the SEC. Michigan football means Fox River Michigan Whiskey.
And we are back with Steve Clark here on the Michigan Insider, Sports Talk 1050, WTKA, online at WTK.com. And so, Steve, as we get into the second half of our midweek peak, it's time to focus on the Penn State defense. This was predicted to be an outstanding unit, and so far they've met all those expectations.
Well, and so they have. I mean, they haven't allowed anyone to score more than 13 points all season. And that goes back to nine games overall, some of those in the 2018 game. They're second in the FBS in points allowed. Penn State also third in the FBS in rushing yards allowed, tied for second in sacks, and third in tackles for a loss. And these statistics are not Big Ten statistics. These are FBS. One of the big leaders has got to be sophomore linebacker Micah Parsons, the number five rated player out of high school. He's their version of Devin Bush, but he's 6'3", 245, so a little taller, a little heavier, a couple of tenths slower on his 40 than Devin Bush, but I mean, he is definitely the guy, and he can go from sideline to sideline and up and down the field. He's also awarded with wearing the LeVar Arrington number 11 jersey out there, so you know what people think of him. Led the team in tackles last season as a freshman, despite starting just one game, and leads the team in that category again. Cam Brown's another impact linebacker, but to me, the story when it comes to an opponent's offensive success, it goes to that front four. The defensive ends, Yetur Gross-Matos and Shaka Toney, they each have 5.5 sacks between the two of them. And defensive tackle Robert Windsor just absolutely abusing Iowa's interior line, far more than the stats could show. Leading the team in sacks in that game, tackles for a loss, and quarterback hurries last week. I think this could be really the best front four in the Big Ten, and that's saying something when you compare them with, you know, Michigan State, Ohio State, and Michigan.
Yeah, you look at that game against Iowa, and I know you were watching it intently too, Steve. I talk about so many guys on the defense, but the guy who popped most to me was Robert Windsor. He seemed like he was the best guy on the field when the Nittany Lion defense was out there.
No, he was very good. I mean, they clearly found, you know, a mismatch that was going on over there, and they were just able to, he was just able to abuse that time in and time out. Again, you know, Iowa's got, you know, day two tackles, but I don't know much about their interior line. I knew they were starting a new right guard, but it was kind of the left guard that was being abused by Robert Windsor more often than the right side. And, I mean, he was just certainly having a day. And, you know, he had a good season last year. I think he had like 7.5 or 8 sacks last year. So he isn't a newcomer to all of this. But, I mean, you're looking at four quality guys on the defensive front, and they're just stopping the run. Now, where Iowa may be more about their linebackers than their defensive line, Penn State's more about their defensive line, and then, you know, one studded linebacker, and Cam Brown's not too bad either. But you look at what Penn State's defense did, you know, Penn State's offensive pressure up front had the similar effects to what Michigan did to the Hawkeyes in Ann Arbor, but the Nittany Lions, they only had 2 sacks compared to Michigan's 8, but their defense was able to shut down the Iowa running game while putting a ton of pressure on Nate Stanley in the pocket. Stanley passed, by the way, for 546 yards on 85 pass attempts in the combined 2 games, but were able only to score 15 points in those 2. So Penn State's defensive numbers weren't as strong as Michigan's when you compare it with the Hawkeyes. More sacks, more hurries, less rushing yardage for Iowa with Michigan. But the point is that Penn State did what was a comparable performance and demonstrated defensive strength all season long that they've had at this point. And it's certainly going to be a test for Michigan, who certainly has their own troubles rushing the football themselves. and being able to pass protect as well.
So,
but
see, as you break down this defense and highlight any other guys that you haven't already, but you know, as you go through the numbers and go through the stats, like I know you do, are you sensing any vulnerability in this defense? Like where's the soft spot, if there is one, with this Penn State crew?
So Pitt's quarterback, who's, you know, not bad, was able to pass all over the field, 350 yards or so. That's pretty good. He was able to do it shallow, middle, and deep. Nate Stanley seemed like he was able to do his best work by throwing to the outside, you know, towards the sideline, and throw a couple of deep balls and see what you can do. So the secondary is probably the weakest part. It is a very fast group of defenders, though. Very, very fast. Might be the fastest Penn State team that I've seen. They can cover all over the field. But I hate to say it, but this group is being criticized. Penn State's group is being criticized for missing out on 50-50 balls. I mean, does Michigan have the moxie to just throw it up there in Happy Valley? I mean, Michigan should be known for winning 50-50 balls for the personnel that they have, yet they're not doing it. Maybe it's because it's too risky. I mean, I think we all kind of held our breath when Nico Collins, you know, reached up and got that 50-50 ball against the Iowa defender, but he came down with it. It was good for 51 yards, and it led to Michigan's only touchdown against the Hawkeyes. Maybe that's just something that they have to do. If that's Penn State's weakness and it's Michigan's strength, do they have the moxie to do that? You know, Michigan looked at its best offensively to me, Sam, in the Wisconsin game, when they were playing desperate and just, you know, winging the ball downfield. I mean, it all caused us to hold our breath, but a lot of times that was kind of working out. You know, the trick is, does Michigan have enough running game to allow single coverage without safety help? Because though we call it a 50-50 ball, it's really more like 33-67, or even worse, if the defense could afford to have a center field safety that could face the quarterback and track the ball. And by the way, adding that, you know, to the risk of that is that Penn State has broken up 27 passes this season already, which is quite a few. And I think a lot of that has to do with their team speed. And, you know, Shea on the short passes and the middle passes, you know, cannot afford to be throwing it over the target's head or behind him, because, you know, even if Michigan's receivers have got a step, if Shea throws a step behind him, it's going to be an interception for the Nittany Lions.
Absolutely. All right. So, Steve, you know, I'm not asking you to pick this game for me, but keys to the game for the Maize and Blue in this contest, because I guess we could argue whether or not this is the toughest defense Michigan is seen to date. I'm sure Wisconsin would have something to say about that, having given up only 29 points all season. But, you know, keys in this one for the Maize and Blue.
Well, I think, you know, as I kind of outlined it, when Penn State played against a quality competition, the offense, you know, wasn't massively productive. They were average. And, you know, they played one good defense in Iowa, and Michigan certainly saw the witness of that. So I think Michigan's defense can contain Penn State as long as they just don't get so, you know, rejuvenated by the crowd and they just kind of explode like they did a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, the average margin of victory over the last 3 years has been 34 points by the home team. I'm not necessarily sure that that's going to be a 34-point blowout for Penn State. I think Michigan's going to keep it much closer to that. Also, James Franklin looking for just his second win over Michigan in six tries a week after getting his first road win over a ranked team. So you have that as well. I think kind of outlined what Michigan may have to do offensively. They may have to throw it up and let their receivers come down to it again. Though my big concern is that if it's going to be thrown 50-50 into double coverage, I just wouldn't do it. It's just, the odds are just not in your favor. Got to get that running game going, but it's going to be extremely difficult because of the way Penn State plays the run statistically, how well they do. It's going to be a hard-fought game, and Michigan's going to have to overcome their own problems of holding on to the football and playing effectively and efficiently at 100% in a road environment. They can play that way at home, but we just don't see them do it on the road. So this is going to be an opportunity for Able to do that. I expect this to be a close game, Sam, and I'll leave it at that for right now.
Gotcha.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Sure, all right. Before we let you go, I'd be remiss if I didn't get your take on the last weekend in college football. We've already discussed the Penn State-Iowa game, but Wisconsin absolutely shellacks Michigan State, just keeping it in the Big Ten for a second. I know Minnesota shellacks Nebraska without Martinez, of course, but those were some of the ones that really stuck out. And then nationally, Jalen Hurts in Oklahoma over Texas, Joe Burrow and LSU over Florida. Go ahead.
I just say the LSU-Florida game was an exciting game to see. I mean, that was back and forth. And, you know, about midway through the fourth quarter, LSU was finally able to get that two-score lead that they have been actively seeking. But Florida was right in there at the very end. And it sets up a lot of scenarios about, you know, what happens in terms of the playoff. And, you know, can the SEC still get two in after Georgia lost? I think Georgia... You know, when you look at them as a national champion contender, yeah, they lost a bad one to South Carolina, and it's the type of game that, you know, if you're judging them on one-loss teams, they lost at home to an under 500 South Carolina team can be an absolute killer, whether that was an overtime or not. But the thing is, Georgia can still win the SEC by beating three top 10 teams in their schedule going forward. And because it's going forward, you know, they have to play Florida. They're going to have to, play Auburn as well. And then they're going to have to, you know, beat whoever it is in the West to be able to win the SEC championship. Georgia still has a chance to fight their way to get through that. But in terms of the Big Ten, I didn't think Nebraska would lose that bad at Minnesota the way they did. No Adrian Martinez, but that was a poor performance in Nebraska, and I think people should start waking up to the fact in Lincoln that this is going to be a lot longer process than, you know, 12, 14, 15 games that they thought going in when they hired Scott Frost. And Michigan State just went through the most brutal part of their schedule, Ohio State and Wisconsin, in back-to-back weeks, both of them on the road. Michigan State people, you know, up in arms. I can understand that, but other than Michigan and Penn State, I mean, they've got three automatic wins the rest of the way, and they could they'll have a chance in both of those games.
Yeah. All right, Steve. Looking forward to this weekend. Another Key Bank countdown to kickoff. Going to have some fun, man. We'll see you on Saturday.
Yeah, that sounds good. I thought you'd ask me about the line, Sam.
No. And no.
You're not. Okay.
I don't know what, Steve. I'm convinced that bias was at play again. My esteemed colleague, counter, cohort, partner, and brother on the other side of the glass thinks I am being overly emotional.
How about this, Sam? What would Al Borges say for you to think right now?
Al Borges, you know, but see, forget what Al says, man.
He tells you to take the fan part out of it.
Let's only pay attention to Al's breakdowns. I don't need Al telling me that I sound too much like a fan when I have the experience of a lifetime of following the Lions and seeing this bias be imposed on my team time and time again.
So what you're saying is you're not listening to Al and you don't listen to your mom.
I do listen to Al.
Your mom says stop crying over the Lions how many years ago?
I do listen to Al on football matters. Sometimes on baseball. All right? But not on this. Not on the Lions, Sam, and not on the Pistons in the 1988 NBA championship. I don't listen to him on those things.
Can I comment here just for a moment?
Sure, you can.
Tie it back into Michigan and Penn State. First of all, if the officials were out to screw the Lions in general, they just would have had a lot easier time taking that first touchdown away. because that was hard to see whether he actually crossed the goal line on fourth down.
I'm not done yet. Boo, boo, and more boo. I disagree.
So now he doesn't want to listen, Ira. He doesn't want to listen now.
Exactly.
That, you know, and by the way, the city of New Orleans is offering therapy lessons to any Lions fans that are out there. They know what it's like to be jobbed to the Super Bowl.
Cry me a river, New Orleans fans. You've been to a Super Bowl. You've won a Super Bowl. I don't want to hear it.
See? All right. So we have that. Now let me tie this a little bit into Penn State. So I've been playing this, you know, survivor pool where all you have to do is pick one NFL winner and you can't pick the same team again. And playing this for about a decade, I have learned that so many of the NFL games are so, so close and come down to the final possession. And I've also learned that when games in football come down to the final possession in a couple of minutes, the losing team always, always is upset with the officiating. Now, I think every Lion fan has a right to be really ticked off at the officiating in that game, without a doubt. But Penn State was involved in two close games this year, and you know what their headline was? Everywhere, local media, multiple sites, multiple sources of information. Their biggest takeaway from their games is how the officiating screwed Penn State to make it closer than what it should have been. It's hilarious. I mean, Penn State fans are just crying a river over Iowa, and they're crying a river over Pitt. And it just goes to show me that when your team is involved in a close game, everyone's mad at officiating.
No, give me a break, Steve. Am I that supposed to make me ashamed? Am I supposed to gain some sort of perspective from that commentary? Is that supposed to make me feel like, oh, you sound like a Penn State fan? No, I feel none of those things, Steve. We got robbed, period. Everyone says. Rarely do you hear me just rely upon consensus, but on this one, we have it.
Oh,
everyone
got
robbed. The Lions got absolutely robbed in this game.
Lions fans got robbed. Yes, absolutely. I didn't say you didn't. But I cannot believe there is a conspiracy against the Detroit Lions in winning.
Look, I will say this, and I conceded this to Ira, and I know we have to get out of here. I conceded that.
All right.
Maybe there isn't a league-wide consortium of officials who get together and say, we're going to get the Lions. But do I think that there is bias at play? Or do I think there was bias at play at least in that game? Hell yeah. Absolutely that is the case. Hey, Steve, they had 13 guys on the field on one play.
I know.
No flag.
I know.
Obvious pass interference, no flag. Hey, defensive back going for an interception. Guy runs into him. Personal foul.
You had to bring it back up, Steve.
Come on, man.
I never should have started it. So I'll try to end it with this. Shaka Toney should have been out for the first half. If the officiating was so bad on Penn State, Shaka Toney should have been out. But they casually forget that as well.
Well, at any rate, that was just to get Michigan. That's what that was about. Anyway, I'm out of here, Steve. We got to get to a break. I'll see you on Saturday, man.
All right.
Why did you? Was I going to talk about the Lions right there? See, Ira, wasn't I moving on?
I was getting
out of the segment. I was done talking about the Lions. Let's talk about the M-Den, the Superstore, 303 South State Street, the most comfortable Nike shoe that I've worn. Or shoes that I've worn have the React cushioning as the sole system.
And the best of you are, I know you know all about sole and
yes,
sole systems.
Yes.
Oh, they're not related actually. But they also have great colors on your newest version of these shoes. The best color of all the ones you've tried on and you've worn, this is the best color to go with the best fit and comfort.
The Nike React Element 55s, the cushioning on these, it's a lifestyle shoe. Now they came out with the React cushioning for the running community, and so the React shoes that you see runners out there running with, now they put it on a lifestyle shoe that you wear every day. And this one, the React Element 55, in maize and blue colors, Michigan colors. You can find it down at the M-Den, the Victor's collection right next door, the entire shoe collection right over there. You can check them out. Wife got a pair as well. Still sizes available down at the MDN, 303 South State Street, right here in Ann Arbor, is the location of the superstore with the Victor's Collection right next door. The MDN is local for everyone online at MDN.com. The MDN and the Victor's Collection, the official outfitters of Sports Talk 1050, WTK, the ticket.